Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:06 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is November 22nd. I thought we'd kick off with Ethereum today. It was down nearly $300, but still holding the 4,000 level. So this is the price encountering, or at least testing, support in an area of previous resistance. So it's certainly going to be a convivial outcome if Ethereum can continue to hold that 4,000 level. But we're seeing risk assets pulling back across the board. So therefore, there is the potential that this upside break is going to fail. And when we look at Bitcoin, well, Bitcoin had steadied last week and then pulled back additionally in here today, down $3,500 and at a new closing low. So that's encountering resistance in the region of a previous area of support. So it is raising the potential here that we're looking at a failed upside break. We had the downside Q reversal about 2.5 weeks ago, and then it didn't do much of anything for the subsequent 5 days, and then pulled back additionally, dropped below the 60,000 level, took out the 57,000 level I've been watching, and then rebounded. And it looked like it was potentially going to be another failed break, at this time a failed downside break. That did not occur, and now we're down $3,500 right now. Well, in the absence of a clear upward dynamic, it's looking like another failed upside break. This time, not so much a very short-term move like we saw about two and a half weeks ago, and instead, it's looking like more of a failed upside break over the medium term. And that would raise the potential that we come all the way back down, not just to test the upper side of the range, but potentially to come all the way back down to the lower side of the range. So certainly it's for the bulls to prove right now. And this is particularly relevant because it's not just Bitcoin that's pulling back. The Nasdaq put in a downside Q reversal today, down 192 points. And it was not the major big cap companies that were leading on the downside. When we look at, for example, Apple, it's off its peak, but it's not posting a downside Q reversal. And Microsoft, I think, might be somewhere where we might be able to begin to see where some of the selling pressure is starting to come through. So it got up to the $350 level. There's absolutely no question that the price has accelerated of late. It's due some consolidation, and now it is perhaps going to start to get it. Where we are starting to see selling pressure coming through is in the cloud computing sector. So that started to pull back last week and then extended the decline in here this week. But it is now also in the region of a previous area of resistance. So there's the potential that we might start to see some support coming through. And then, of course, there's also the potential that it might come back down and test the sequence of higher reaction lows in the region of the trend mean. One thing that I thought was particularly interesting is that some of these companies, like DigitalOcean, are now the largest constituents within the cloud computing sector. MongoDB is another one. Now, Arista Networks has been around for a long time, but what I found interesting about looking at some of the constituents of this ETF this morning is that some of these companies haven't been around all that long, at least as part of the wider stock market. So what we've in fact seen with cloud computing is that its newer companies are making up significant weightings within it. And obviously there's been a great deal of enthusiasm about new companies. But then we can think about other companies that might have been part of it in the past, and they're breaking downwards. So Twilio was one of the champions of the cloud computing sector in 2020. And then it lost momentum. It's no longer a constituent of that Sky ETF. But that doesn't mean that it's not still a cloud computing sector. Then, of course, there's this reorientation of the Star Wars project from the USA's Pentagon, and they're looking for submissions from companies like Amazon and Google and Microsoft. And then the question is, are which one of them or any of them, and how much of the pool of money that's being allocated going to go to each one of those companies? So we're certainly seeing some selling pressure coming through in some of the more risky portions of the market, whereas the large caps are easing back, but not doing so faster than the wider market. And then we can also look at today's big downward dynamic in gold. So gold prices were down $40. I've been saying last week that there had been a distinct absence of downward dynamics. Well, the market provided one today. That's a big downward dynamic. And it's similar to the kinds of downward moves that we saw and at peaks in June and in January. So this is helping to confirm that the sequence of big lower rally highs is still intact. But now the big question is, are we going to start to see support coming through within the next $50? Is the sequence of higher reaction lows that's been going on really since August going to hold? So this is going to be the big question of the next week. We've had certainly technical deterioration in cryptocurrencies, particularly Bitcoin. And the weaker Bitcoin gets, the more likely it is that we're going to see greater selling pressure come through in the wider cryptocurrency world. We've had a big drawdown in gold, and the other big drawdowns we've had over the course of the last year have contributed to periods of it not doing much of anything. But the big question now is whether we're coming out the other end of that. So quite whether it can hold support within the next $50 will tell us a lot about that. But then we have the weakness that's coming through in the stock market, and that is suggesting that there is a peak of at least near-term significance, and downside follow-through would confirm that tomorrow. And it would suggest that we're moving into more of a corrective phase and perhaps a reversion back down towards the mean. And a lot of the questions then about what's going on, well, it has to be tied back to interest rates. So 10-year government bond yields were up nearly 8 basis points today. So continuing to hold the region of the trend mean, and this at the moment looks like a consolidation. And we had news that Jay Powell is going to hold on to his job, and the betting had been over the last couple of weeks that Lael Brainard may have got the job and that she'd possibly be even more dovish than Powell has been. And that would have delayed the prospect of interest rates rising at some point next year. And that was a reason to be really bullish on stocks. So now that Powell is going to hold on to his job for another few years, it suggests that the pace of tapering will persist, that potentially the Federal Reserve might begin to raise rates after the middle of next year. So that is still really quite favorable in terms of financial conditions, but perhaps not quite as favorable as a Brainard-led Fed might have been. And that's helping to put upward pressure on the 10-year yield. And we're starting to see just the first evidence of some reticence to give the benefit of the doubt to the ability of asset prices to sustain their high values when we continue to see bond yields that are pushing higher. So I do believe that it's relevant to pay attention to what's happening in terms of the yield curve. The yield curve spread is still around the 100 basis point level. So that really suggests that the short end of the curve is rising as fast as the longer end of the curve and maintaining that 100 basis point differential. If we go back and look at history, well, the most recent time when the yield curve has trended higher was in 2007 through to 2010. And the worst selling pressure occurred in 2008, and that was at levels above 150 basis points. Well, I find it particularly relevant that the yield curve spread peaked at 150 basis points earlier this year, and it's still holding this 100 basis point level in order to really suggest that we have got trouble in the credit markets and that there is a significant problem in terms of liquidity, which would require in many respects, a yield curve control in order to bring down the short rate and push up the long rate. And to get up to those levels like we have in like we had back in 2010 and 11 around the 250 to 300 basis point levels, well then that would represent a very significant challenge from the perspective of central banks, and they're going to be at pains to avoid that. Now there's a lot of people talking about the potential for a crash, and crashes don't occur by accident. They occur because the money runs out. They occur because liquidity dries up, puts pressure on leveraged positions, everybody heads for the exit at the same time, and prices come back in a very abrupt fashion. Well, it also is a very surprising characteristic. And there's no question that we've had some accelerations. And certainly some of those companies, like Avis, for example, they could easily crash. There's absolutely no doubt at all that when we look at the extraordinary advances that we've seen in some companies that have very little in the way of medium-term prospects, that does anybody really believe that a rental car company is with a price to book, or really, or perhaps more correctly, a price to sales ratio that is completely unjustifiable? Have they got any real potential to hold on to these valuations? So I think that there's certainly the scope for these kinds of companies to pull back in a very significant fashion. But ultimately, we're going to get to a questioning of just how will central banks raise rates, and what kind of sacrifices is that going to, are they going to entail? Because governments are in no mood for stopping their spending programs, and it's unfeasible to raise rates in an aggressive fashion, or raise taxes, excuse me, in an aggressive fashion. And the cost of servicing the debt will only increase as yields rise. So we're in a rather difficult environment. Now, we also have inflationary pressures that are rising, and Germany's likely to have a print in excess of 6% in here this week. So obviously that's going to make global headlines, particularly with regard to the Bundesbank's approach to inflation over the years. So it's setting up a very probably an animated argument within the ECB, particularly from the Bundesbank's perspective. But Europe's not going to raise rates anytime soon. In fact, the dollar continues to remain really quite firm, and it was up in a rather dynamic manner in here today. The euro continues to pull back. The yen is also continuing to trend lower against the dollar, so the dollar was up in a dynamic manner in here today. And this is suggesting that we're getting at least some deleveraging, that some money is coming out of risk assets and it's heading for cash, and that money is coming out of the bond markets. So if stocks go down and bonds go down together, and Bitcoin goes down and gold goes down, Well, then, this is a day in which every kind of risk asset has had a negative return. But the one that's held up best is the Dow Jones. It was in positive territory. Now, these kinds of conditions do not happen all that often, and the VIX index is not spiking higher, but of course it is higher in here today, and it has a higher reaction low, so there's the potential that it may start to follow the bond market's volatility index higher. So we're moving into more of a risk-off environment, and that suggests that we're going to see some of the more overextended trends unwound and others will be tested. But that is also why I think gold is interesting, because it generally tends to bottom early when we get these risk-off types of environments. And we don't have big leveraged long positions to pressure, but there are big leveraged long positions to pressure in Bitcoin, and there are big levered long positions to pressure in some of the most over levered portions of the stock market, and those could easily come under some additional selling pressure. So we're certainly in an environment which suggests that we might get at least a reversion back down to the mean. I just don't think that there's any real potential that interest rates are going to raise higher. So we're getting perhaps a belated bit of taper tantrum risk starting to come back in. I have been looking at what is the ultimate potential risk for inflation, and I do think that inflationary pressures are going to trend higher. But we've had a high in the way that people are looking at inflation and fearing inflation, and I think we're probably due a bout of worry about deflation, and then subsequently inflationary pressures will start to rise again. And I think that one of the potential black swans that are sitting out there on the horizon are the global fishing populations. There was news about 2 months ago that the North Atlantic and North, excuse me, it was the North Pacific salmon population is exhibiting some of the same characteristics as the cod population did before it had a massive collapse. And we've already seen collapses in the haul from sardines and anchovies. So it's potentially removing fish meal from the global supply chain, and that would have significant knock-on effects in terms of inflationary pressures for growing proteins, particularly from fish farming and from livestock. So these are things that are out there on the horizon that haven't occurred yet, but they're certainly worth monitoring. And we're definitely seeing that bond market volatility continues to trend higher. Ultimately, that's going to contribute to a taper tantrum. And we're starting to see some of the ill effects from that being felt by the stock market. And the dollar continues to rally, which is indicative of just deleveraging overall. But these types of moves where risk assets and safe havens all pull back at the same time, they don't tend to last. So then the big question is, where are the biggest risks? And obviously the risks are in the bond market because of the burden that's being imposed on governments by higher yields, and then the inability of central banks to really act, even though they talk a good game of acting. That should help to support gold, but ultimately it's going to have to demonstrate that support can be found within the next $50. And then of course you have the really big risk assets like Bitcoin, where leverage of 100 to 1 isn't out of the ordinary. And if we do get some risk off, well, then there's the potential that it could pull back in a violent manner. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.